Christian friend, do you get the message? God, through Jesus Christ, reconciled us to Himself. To reconcile means to cause the hostilities to cease. In other words, we have become the children and the friends of God through Jesus. We are now at peace with God. As a result, God has given us a ministry of reconciliation to help others find peace with God too. We are to preach that message of peace, but we are to live it also. What better way to live out the message and life of Christ than to demonstrate unselfish forgiveness towards those who have wronged us? There is a phrase I have heard for many years. In fact, I cannot remember the first time I heard it. I suppose it was when I was very young. It always gave me problems because I didn't understand how it could be done. I always hated it when my parents or a teacher would tell me to do it because it didn't seem possible. What was the phrase? Well, you've probably heard it too. I can remember being told when I had been wronged by someone that I should just forgive and forget. Has anyone ever told you to forgive and forget? Sure they have. And could you do it? I couldn't. And the reason I could not was because I didn't understand what it means to forget. The forgiving part wasn't always so hard. But how do you forget? My memory was too good for that. Long after I had forgiven someone, I still remembered what they had done. This forgive and forget business always confused me. Listen as I read the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. These verses stress the necessity of forgiving others. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now listen to Jesus' explanation of those words in the next two verses. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus didn't say anything about forgiving and forgetting, did he? Well, believe it or not, I think I know what it means to forgive and forget, and the scriptural principles that the concept is built upon. Let me attempt to explain it. Lewis Smedes identifies four stages in the process of forgiveness. And my friend, many times forgiveness is a process, not just an emotional experience. Because it is a goal that must be sought after, we will often find ourselves gaining ground and losing ground in the battle. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that forgiveness has to be worked out or even felt. Forgiveness is a decision and an act of the will. Either you do forgive or you do not. It's that simple. However, many of the remembrances and hurts involved in getting over offenses against us have a tendency to come and go. We may gain and lose ground in the process of working through the pain and hurt long after we have chosen to forgive. This is where the forgetting comes into focus. According to Lewis Smedes, these are the four stages of forgiveness. The first stage occurs at the point of our hurt. Remember the word hurt. We have been injured in some way, spiritually, emotionally, or materially, and we feel the injury. The second stage occurs when, as a result of the hurt, we hate. Remember the word hate. Now, the word hate may be strong depending upon the depth of our hurt. The idea here is that the injury we feel boils into an active resentment of the person who caused the injury. Like the hurt, this is a natural response. The third stage occurs as we begin to heal. Remember the word heal. At this point, we finally let go. Do you remember in our last broadcast we gave three Greek words for forgiveness? One of those words had to do with canceling a debt. Another one had to do with casting away the resentment, bitterness, and anger. At the third stage of forgiveness, the healing stage, we cast away our hatred and resentment. This is a critical stage of forgiveness. Unlike hurting and hating, healing is not a natural response. I repeat, it is not a natural response. Only a born-again Christian can fully appreciate this healing. For you see, to let go of hatred means we need a strength to operate on that is beyond ourselves. This strength that works the opposite of our hurting and hating comes only from God. The fourth stage of forgiveness is to forget. Remember the word forget. This does not imply some kind of sentimental amnesia. It is not a literal experience of forgiving and forgetting where the mind is incapable of ever remembering that the offense took place. To forget means we no longer allow our past resentments and hurts to be the judge of the one who wronged us. In other words, I no longer filter my attitudes towards that person through my personal hurt, resentment, anger, and bitterness. It is at this point that I can think of that person and honestly recognize their merits and strengths without projecting my hurt and anger on them. That is what it means to forgive and forget. Now, in the time we have left in this broadcast, and in the two remaining broadcasts in this series, I want to list for you seven reasons why we must learn to forgive even as Christ has forgiven us. Remember, we are forgiven by God because of what Christ has done for us. We must forgive each other because of what Christ is doing in us. These seven reasons describing why we must forgive others are evidences of the work of Christ in our lives. Reason number one, we must forgive others because we are most like Christ when we forgive. I'm sure you will agree with me that we are to live our lives like the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul challenged the Colossians with these words in chapter 2 and verse 6. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in Him. Well then, if we are to live as Christ lived, what example did He leave us in this matter of forgiveness? Obviously, Jesus is our ultimate example of someone who practiced unselfish forgiveness. And not only did He demonstrate forgiveness for us, but we are called into the ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation with Him. Listen to these words found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Christian friend, do you get the message? God, through Jesus Christ, reconciled us to Himself. To reconcile means to cause the hostilities to cease. In other words, we have become the children and the friends of God through Jesus. We are now at peace with God. As a result, God has given us a ministry of reconciliation to help others find peace with God too. We are to preach that message of peace, but we are to live it also. What better way to live out the message and life of Christ than to demonstrate unselfish forgiveness towards those who have wronged us? And remember, this forgiveness is aggressive, not passive. It doesn't wait for an emotional feeling of forgiveness to come. It takes the initiative and makes the willful choice to forgive others. That, my friend, is the life of Christ. Forgiveness is necessary for the believer because we are most like Christ when we forgive. Reason number two, we must forgive others if we want to experience forgiveness ourselves. Look once again to the passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, which was read a few moments ago. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What greater motivation to forgive others can be found anywhere? Do you want or need forgiveness from God? To have it, you must forgive those who have wronged you. My prayer is that you will search your heart today, asking God to reveal any anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness that may be there. As He shows you your heart as it really is, I pray that you will make the choice to follow Christ's example and forgive those who are in need of your forgiveness. May God bless you in your journey towards Christ's likeness.